We are on air. This is Monday night, March the 4th, and we're here for our Las Vegas NASCAR race review and Hot Topic Sound Off here on Fan for Racing Radio. And joining me shortly will be our co-host for tonight, Sal Sagala. So big welcome back for him since he wasn't able to be with us for the first two shows. I'm really looking forward to having him back online with us tonight. We're going to start with some short track news and as well as a brief update for the ARCA Menards series, the ARCA East and the ARCA West. Those series are not racing this weekend, but we will be previewing races for the ARCA Menards series as well as the ARCA West this Thursday on our preview show, which will be a podcast that we'll put out sometime on Thursday afternoon. Now, afterward, we are going to review the NASCAR Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Cup Series races that all took place at Las Vegas Motor Speedway this past weekend. And boy, there was some really big action across the board there. So Sal and I will be talking about those races. And then, of course, we're going to end our episode with the Hot Topic Sound Off discussion with our Fan for Racing crew. And we're going to start a little bit early. We're going to start at 9:30 Eastern time for our Hot Topic Sound Off discussion. So stay on board for that as well. I'm going to get into some of the short track news here. So give me a moment. I got to watch for Sal coming on board as well, which makes it a little bit hard. I'm going to see if I can split my screen and be able to watch that at the same time. All right. All right, I think I've got myself set up here so that I can see Sal. Matter of fact, there he is right now. We're going to bring him into the queue. And first of all, I want to say welcome back, Sal. It's good to have you back online here.
Oh, thank you, Sharon. It's good to be back.
Yes, indeed. Well, I've already gone through a review of what we're going to talk about here tonight. I was just getting ready to start our short track news. I've got all the notes over on your Teams page if you want to check it out there. I can go ahead and get started. And I'll just tell you, the World of Outlaws, Mother Nature was the only winner on the weekend washing out Sunday's race at Volusia Speedway Park. So that race is going to have to be rescheduled. You can read about more about that at worldofoutlaws.com. But that's what happens when there's rain in the air. Are you caught up to where we are, Sal?
Yeah, it's funny. It just works. I remember I told you I had the issue with the app.
But I thought I saw you on there, so I thought you figured out a way to make it work.
Yeah. Oh, that was a fluke. But no, it just popped up on my phone now. Yeah. So anyway, so then you went from World of Outlaws to the car store amid a group of our house organizations. Kyle Kemp on his family-owned operation pulled off a surprise victory at Southern National Motorsports Park, which, since we're on the car store thing right now, our car store west.
I've got it later on, too, Sal, if you look at the notes. I think I've got the notes here about that. If you look further down, you'll see that I've got notes about it.
Okay. Okay. No, what you're talking about? You're talking about the SRL National.
Okay. Well, what do you have for the car tour?
So Tim Huddleston and from Irwindale Speedway, who just recently bought Kern and renamed it Kevin Harvick's Kern County Speedway, they started the Cars Tours West, which we got rained out last Saturday. So ours got rescheduled to the 16th of March. So, but along with the Car Store West Prolate, Tim also added Car Store West Legends series. So he took the Legends and combined them with the Car Store West. So we're going to have a Legend and the Prolate division along with our Car Stores West, which actually is with the Car Stores East that you just talked about right now.
Okay. So Car Store, this was the first time because Car Store normally is a Southern series, and they're expanding out now to have a West series. So that's pretty cool to hear.
And I think that's thanks to Kevin Harvick, since Kevin Harvick is one of the owners of the Car Stores, the regular Car Store. Kevin Harvick, Jeff Burton, and Dylan Hart Jr. So Kevin Harvick and Tim Huddleston got together and decided to do a Car Stores West.
I think that's fantastic.
Run by them. There's some. Anyways, we'll talk about that later on, maybe in the next show. But there's a lot of stuff that's going on that's going to happen with the Car Store and the Car Stores West. But that's up for another year or two down the line. Some of the plans that they're talking about.
Well, maybe we can get Tim Huddleston or on board here and have him as a guest to talk about that.
I'm going to talk to Kevin on the 16th and see if I can get Kevin on the show.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
I know, but I think with what's going on, I was talking to Tim already about it. We're both going to try to see if we can get Kevin to come on and talk more about it. So we'll see what happens with that. But that's good news for us West Coast racers because we needed something out here.
Okay, that's fantastic. Well, the Spark Modified Tour type modified racing might have a new young star. Carson Lofton beat the field at Florence Motor Speedway, earning his first series win, and he's just 15 years old. So he's an up-and-comer. Remember that name because that's how we get to know a lot of these folks that end up in NASCAR. Carson Lofton beat the field at just 15 years old. Matt Weaver writes about it over at Short Track Scene if you want to check out more about that.
Yeah, then from Hickory Motor Speedway, the historic North Carolina track opened its year with Twin 40 features. Connor Hall won the first one. And that one you can also go to Matt Weaver over at Short Track Scene. And he's got more on it.
Yes, and he was also in the second duel. He was out-dueled by Landon Shane Huffman in that second feature. Matt writes about that as well over at Short Track Scene. So if you want to know more about that Cars Prolate Model Tour opener, Chase Folsom writes about it over at Front Stretch as well. There's three takeaways from the Cars Prolate Model Tour that opened up this weekend. So you want to hear what Chase Folsom's three takeaways are.
And then Casey Roderick claimed his third fair in the dominating in the Alabama 200 performance. That's over on RacingAmerica.com. Casey Roderick sat out about a year, I think. But anyways, he came back with Anthony Cappy Racing. So he's came back and grabbed another win. So that's huge for all you Casey Roderick fans out there.
Yes, it is. I think it's his third bearer at that track, but Casey Roderick is a well-known short track racer, but you're right, he's been gone for a while, he's coming back, so that was really a good win for him. Also, Joe Liguori holds off the rising star Colton Bettis to win the Children's Shriner race. Again, you can read about that over at Fan for Racing, over at Racing America as well. It was the to win the Children's Dream Fund 50. So after a hard-fought battle, Joe Lagori hosted the $10,000 winner's check in the Children's Dream Fund 50 at Citrus County Speedway. So that's over at Racing America if you want to know more about that. But a big win in the sprint cars this weekend for Joe Lagori. And then, Sal, I thought you'd want to talk about this as well.
Yeah, then the SRL National, they rebranded under the UARA banner. The UARA used to run before it was a series from way back, and then it just kind of took a hiatus. And then, you know, as we started getting the ASA and all these other different organizations in, well, Ricky Brooks took a job as general manager of Cordell Speedway. And when he took the job at Cordell Speedway, I talked to Ricky a little bit after he took the job, and I asked him about what was going to happen if he was going to step down from the SRL National. He said, no, he wasn't. He said, there's some news coming up. So I was trying to get Ricky on the show tonight, but I think I'm going to see if I can get him back on next Monday. And this way he can talk a little bit more about how the rebranding worked. But basically, Larry Collins and the Collins family who run the SRL National, who run the SRL Southwest Tour, they're going to kind of step back, and they're going to work more on the West, on the Southwest Tour here.
Mm-hmm.
And Ricky's going to work the rebranding of the UARA since he has responsibilities with Cordell, which he just moved this past weekend. They moved up to Cordell to get all settled into their new house and all that up there. So I'm hoping to talk to Ricky more this week, and then I'm hoping to get him on next week. And then this way he can explain a little bit more in depth on how all this came about, and then how the rebranding, how the new UARA is going to work with since it's not going to be the SRL National anymore. And it's crazy because they had a really good first season, SRL National, and then all of a sudden Ricky took this job and kind of put the SRL kind of at you know where they're at now. So there's a lot going on with all this, you know, a lot of stuff behind the scenes. But either way, congratulations, Ricky Brooks.
Yes, indeed. I think that's fantastic. They're gonna. Let's see, we start its 2024 season with the Rattler at South Alabama Speedway on March 17th, and the Spirit Southwest Tour will kick off their 24th season at Roseville's All-American Speedway on March 23rd. So those races are coming up. That would be great to have Ricky or Brian or whoever come and talk to us about everything that's going on there. That's fantastic.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, I'm gonna try to get Ricky. If not, I don't want to get Brian, but I'd rather get Ricky because Ricky's gonna have this is more surrounding Ricky than it is
right.
than it is Brian.
Okay, real quick, I do want to give you some news about the Arca Menards series. They've got a race coming up with this weekend at Phoenix Raceway. Brian and I we'll be previewing that race on Thursday morning's podcast, and we'll put that out sometime on Thursday afternoon. But I will tell you that the Arca Menards Series East will be opening up their first race, and that's going to be taking place down at Five Flags Speedway on March 23rd. So the Pensacola 150, again, the Thursday before, Brian and I will do the preview of that race, but just to let you know that they are coming back. The race on this week on March the 8th, that race is going to be both series, the Arca Menards Series and the Arca Menards Series West. For the Arca Menards Series, it's going to be the second race of the season, but for the Arca West, that's going to be their season opener. It's just one race, but both series are going to be racing for points. So that's pretty cool. I always like it when we have that combination event.
Yes, it is. And there's a lot of new teams that, you know, if you don't follow NASCAR, gosh, I forgot he says a NASCAR Naughty Bot or whatever on Facebook. He does a complete rundown on the ARCA West out here. He talks about all the new teams that are coming out. He does a profile on each team, which is really super neat, you know, because then it gives you more of an insight, you know, who the team, sponsors, crew chief, and stuff like that. And he puts that out as soon as the ARCA West puts out the as soon as they put out the entry list. And he also writes for he does an article for that is called NASCAR Verdi or something to that effect. But he's on he's Vincent Del Forge. He's a statistician for Racing Reference. He does all the statistics.
Oh, okay.
So anyways, he's a good guy to follow on Facebook if you really want to get in depth on the ARCA West series.
Okay. Also, there's an article up there about Roger Carruth. You know, of course, he raced in the ARCA Menards series before starting to race in the truck series. And he's a graduate, I guess you could say, of the ARCA Menards series. But there's a nice article about him being the third driver to win a NASCAR National Series race, if you want to check that out. But, Sal, we're going to have to move over to the truck series race, the race that Raja Caruso won on Friday night, the Victoria's Voice Foundation 200 for the Craftsman Truck Series. He started from the pole, which was really cool, too. He won the pole earlier in the day and then won the race after leading 38 of the 134 laps. He joins Wendell Scott and Bubba Wallace now as the only African-American drivers to win a NASCAR National Series race. Tyler Ankrum finished second in that race, followed by Corey Heim, Taylor Gray, Christopher Bell, Kristen Eckes, Matt Crafton, Zane Smith, Grant Infinger, and Ty Majeski were the top 10 finishers. Majeski won the opening stages and led a race-high 40 laps, but on lap 102 under the race's only green flag cycle of pit stops, he was caught speeding along with the Daytona winner Nick Sanchez, and both had to serve a pass-through penalties, so that put them behind. Kyle Busch, who won last week at Atlanta, also had trouble on pit road. His team received a safety violation, so he had to serve a penalty under the green flag as well. As the green flag pit stops continued, it was Roger Caruth cycling back into the lead on lap 114. There were 19 lead changes among 10 drivers and 4 cautions for 19 yellow flag laps. The average speed of the race was 129.91 miles per hour. Sal, any thoughts about the top 10 finishers in that race?
Yeah, it was a heck of a race. You know, I finally got to watch a race because all our racing got rained out, so we didn't end up at the track. But, congratulations on Raja on a dominating win. He was so far ahead that, I mean, even like the last 10 laps,
like
there was no way Tyler Ankrum wasn't going to catch him. But, you know, it was neat to see Tyler Ankrum's interview. You know, he was happy, with the second place finish he had, finishing behind Raja. And he said, you know, even he said, you know, that he was, it was a good run for him, that he needed it. And, to see Roger get the win and see his dad come up there in the victory lane afterwards, you know, congratulate him. You know, I'm sure it's a huge achievement for them. But like I said, congratulations to Roger, Tyler Ankrum, I finished second. And then, you know, of course you go down the list, you know, their drivers, you know, that have finished up in the top 10 list. So, looks like it's going to be a good truck season this year, so it's going to be highly competitive, and we'll just see where it goes from here.
Okay. Yeah, he really had a good race, and I was real happy for him. A lot of people thought it was going to be the veterans, Christopher Bell or Kyle Busch, that were going to win that race. So he did not, that win did not necessarily come easy. He had some tough competition there. Just about everybody ended up finishing the race, although some of them were multiple laps down. Timmy Hill, though, had an electrical issue that took him out of the race on lap 75. The margin of victory, by the way, I was thinking of another race. This margin of victory was 0.851 seconds between first and second. So Tyler Ankrum said if he had a few more laps, he thought he might have caught him, but the laps ran out, and he settled for second. But like you say, he was real happy with that finish.
Yeah, I don't think a few more laps too. I don't know. He was kind of catching, you know, on the line he was running, but I just think, you know, nobody knows what Roger was holding back, you know. He might have been holding back, too, you know, on his truck, you know, just saving, you know, whatever he had left, you know. And, you know, so, I mean, nobody ever knows. But either way, you know, you just got to look at the way they finished. You know what? Roger won, Tyler finished second. Great finish for Tyler Ingram. And, you know, and puts Roger Caruth right up there inside the chase along with Nick Sanchez.
Yep. He punched his ticket.
Yeah, because the other win was Kyle Busch, and Kyle can't compete for a championship. So right now we got Roger Caruth and Nick Sanchez that are locked into the chase. So you know, something to look forward to. You know, two young drivers, you know, that are, you know, making their start, actually starting out their careers. You know, and
Speaking of that, the rookie, Connor Jones, was the highest finishing rookie of the race. He finished in 14th place, which isn't bad for a rookie out at Las Vegas. And I just want to just let everybody know, we've got a brief grouping of thunderstorms coming through my area right now. Hopefully, sometimes when we have thunderstorms, it means the power goes out, but we'll keep an eye on it. I think I'm prepared in case that happens, but it might take me a brief minute or two to kind of reorganize if the power does go out. So I'll give you a heads up, too, Sal.
All right. Maybe you should get a small little tiny generator that'll just run the computer and your modem.
Yes. I do have a little power pack here to put on the phone if the power goes out. And my computer's pretty well charged up, so I think it will outlast the storms, but I wanted to let you know. Let's go over the driver points before we run out of time, Sal.
So. The driver points, you have Tyler Aper leading the points, Ty Majeski in second, Corey Heim in third, Roger Caruth and Nick Sanchez, who already have their wins, fourth and fifth respectively, Taylor Gray in sixth, Matt Kraft is seventh, Brett Holmes eighth, Christian Ecke, who had his problems out there too. Gosh, I felt so bad for him that, you know, he had a strong truck, ran out of brakes, and basically, you know, that was, you know, ended his bid. And then Grant Enfinger finished 10th, who just picked up a ride. So Grant Enfinger will be racing in the ARCA West Series on this Friday coming up at Phoenix.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I figured there'd be some Truck Series or Xfinity Series drivers and maybe even a Cup Series driver that'll race in that race. There's some really close battles going on here. The top three from 133 points to 126, that's just 7 points separating the top three. And then you've got Sanchez and Taylor Gray. They're just a point apart. So, and then Christian Eckes and Grant Enfinger are now tied for that ninth spot. So some really tight point battles going on there.
Yeah, it's going to, we're just getting started, but it seems like it's going to be a really good racing season this year for the for the truck series. Of course, we know they're taking this weekend off because they don't race in Phoenix, so they got a week to regroup and get ready for their next race.
Yep, and I think that's going to be fantastic that they get a break. But they'll be back on track again. We'll definitely be on top of it. But, yeah, I got some really good stats there for the Craftsman Truck Series. And I was just going to look and see if there's any storylines that we need to be following for... Yeah, I don't see any big storylines there, but we'll keep our eye on it and make sure that we let you know what the stories are coming out from the truck series. Let's go ahead and move over to the Xfinity series. I know we're a couple minutes ahead, but that's okay.
There was one big story that came out of this win this past week, and that's with Rick Hendrick. Rick Hendrick engaged into a partnership with Roger Caruth, you know, running for Aspire Motorsports for the full season. So now Roger will have, he'll be like Kyle Larson. He'll have the Hendrick Cars.com on the truck for the rest of the season. So his truck will look like a sister car to Kyle Larson, who also runs the HendrickCars.com sponsorship.
Yes, that's fantastic. He had 10 races scheduled for the season, but when Rick Hendrick came up with the sponsorship, that gave him enough to run the full season. So he'll be able, he not only qualified for the playoffs, he's now got sponsorship for the full season. So that's fantastic.
You know, when you think of it, it makes sense because now Rick knows he's in the playoffs, so he's going to, it makes sense to give him the whole enchilada, basically, you know, and
exactly.
The full sponsorship, you know.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
I think it's fantastic for Raja, and I'm glad to know that he's going to be racing that full season. Okay, moving on now to the Xfinity Series. It was John Hunter Nemechek winning big at Las Vegas. Chandler Smith won the battle, but it was John Hunter Nemechek winning the war. The Joe Gibbs Racing teammate spent most of Saturday afternoon racing each other for that top spot in the Liuna. It's a 300-mile race at Las Vegas. But on the long run, John Hunter Nemechek is the one who prevailed. He led after leading a race high 99 laps. The number 20 of John Hunter Nemechek won the race for his first win and 10th victory of his career. The pole sitter, Cole Custer, actually finished up in runner-up, though he never led a lap. The 81 of Chandler Smith won both stages, but he faded in that final stage to end up in third place. Then it was Austin Hill, the winner at Daytona and Atlanta, finishing up in fourth. And Riley Herbst rounded out the top five, the Las Vegas native. Then the next five drivers were A.J. Allmendinger, Ryan Sieg, Sammy Smith, Brandon Jones, and Justin Allgaier to round out the top 10. There were 12 lead changes among five drivers, four cautions for 22 yellow flag laps, and the average speed of the race was 137.143 miles per hour. The highest finishing rookie was actually Haley Deegan, and she finished 15th in that race. So it was a big win for Haley Deegan, even though she didn't actually win the race. It was the highest finishing rookie. So your thoughts about the top 10 drivers here, Sal?
Yeah, it was a good race. I mean, Chandler Smith, this is the second year in a row that he's the class of the field and doesn't get the win. Last year, he finished second behind, I think it was Cole Custer that won the race. No, it was Riley Herbst. Miley
Earp, the one in Miley Earp's
the
one in October, yeah.
Yeah, but anyways, this was Chandler's second. This is the second Vegas race you know, where he dominated and couldn't get the win. So, you know, but I mean, congratulations, to John Hunter. Need to check out the win. Cole Custer, stays close up on the ground. Top 10 of St. Louis, AJ Allmendinger, and then Ryan Sieg, congratulations to him on his 7th place finish. You go up and down the list, you see, like I said, you see Haley Deegan, who stayed out of trouble and finished respectable 15th. Jesse Love, who's been the talk of the town, had mm-hmm. a 17th place finish, and he had this was his third pole or something, I think.
Yes, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, no, Cole Custer had the pole for this race. Yeah, Cole had the pole.
Oh, that's right. But Jesse's had the pole for a couple of races there.
Yeah, he had it for Vegas and Atlanta. But, I mean, gosh, there's a lot going on with Jesse Love's career this year. He's been the talk of the – of all the newscasts and everything, so finishing 17th, yep. It's not bad for him. This was his first time, racing on the big track. He's won at the Bullring before when he was running NASCAR K&N, he was running the K&N West Series. So, you look up and down the top 10 list, and you see some big names there. Austin Hill, gosh, man, that guy's on fire this year so far.
Well, he was on fire last year, too.
Yeah, I was surprised he didn't win the championship last year. Cole Custer, ended up with the championship last year. And, Brandon Jones,
yep.
They're in the ninth spot. But, you look at all the, you look at the Fords, Ford just can't get a win in none of the top three series. They still have one in the trucks. They still have one in the Infinity.
Yeah.
I've
talked about this, Sal, a few times, but, a couple of years ago, a lot of the executives from Ford left and they went over to Chevrolet. And so I think that left a big gaping hole for Ford, and it was to Chevrolet's benefit. That those guys made that move because ever since that happened, it seems like the Chevrolets have been running a whole lot better. Because remember a few years ago, we were wondering what happened to the Chevrolets. Well, when all those Ford execs went over there, they started running a lot better. And now Ford's really struggling. So we'll have to see how that continues to play out. But I think that's a lot of the reason. This also is the race that had the big margin of victory, 4.360 seconds between John Hunter Nemechek and Cole Custer, who came in second. So John Hunter Nemechek had a commanding lead here.
Yes. And then along with that, with the Ford, there's also talk that Stuart Haas might be changing, might not be running the Ford. Next year, they're talking about, possibly leaving. And actually, when all the shakeup came with the Ford and the Chevy and all that, that's when Brad Keselowski stepped up and became part of the Roush Fenway group, and jumped on board, to try to help them, with the developmental end of, keeping the Ford competitive and all that. So.
Our fan for racing crew, when you talk about that potential change for Stuart Haas Racing, it's just a rumor right now, but there's a lot of talk about it. We'll have to see if that happens. If you think about it, Stuart Haas Racing hasn't really done that well since they made that switch. So it would be a good for them to go back to Chevy, or maybe the new one. The other rumor is that Honda's maybe coming to NASCAR, so they could be moving over to Honda.
I don't know. There's a lot going on with Stewart Haas. I mean, Tony Stewart just isn't, you know, he's now that he's running top field this year, NHRA, his focus has been, he wants the championship over there, you know, in top field, you know. And then it would just almost compete as, you know, so I don't know. I've heard a lot that Tony's not really in the game over here on the NASCAR end, and that's why it's faltering.
Yeah, we kind of talked about that and suspected that.
You know, then he's trying to blame the drivers, you know, like after Daytona, after the clash, he said, oh, he goes, we had a bad outing, you know, we got to get our act together, you know, but it all comes from the top, you know. You know, the drivers can only do what the team gives them.
Right,
you know, and then you got young drivers who are new to the Cup Series. You know, we'll talk about Xfinity racing. I'll tell you a little bit on the Cup side, but, you know, Cole Custer, I felt bad that he didn't get the nod. I think he should have gotten OSC after winning that championship last year. You know, I mean, you know, they finally got the championship. You know, whether it's Xfinity or whatever.
But look at what Cole's done for the Xfinity series, though. Him and Riley are running really well together, and I think I like seeing Cole Custer in the Xfinity series. And running with Riley. So I think that he's been good for the Xfinity series. I will tell you there were four cars that did have some issues taking them out of the race early. Sam Mayer was out on lap 7. Man, that guy can't catch a break this season. He's had a real rough start. He had an accident that took him out on lap 7. Shane Van Gisbergen had an engine problem that took him out of the race on lap 27. And then Sage Karam had a transmission issue, taking him out of the race on lap 104. And Parker Rutzlaff, who's really had some strong races this year, he had a fuel pump go out on him, and that took him out of the race on lap 115. Everybody else finished the race, although some of them finished a lap or more down. Only four cars had mechanical issues taking them out. So that's pretty cool. We got to see most of the drivers finish up that race.
Yeah. It was a big margin of victory. Nobody was going to catch John. I didn't even check unless he ran out of gas. But that wasn't going to be. This wasn't an Atlanta race where fuel was going to be an issue.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's go ahead and cover the driver points here for the Xfinity Series now.
Okay, the Xfinity Series points. When you look at it, Austin Hill is still leading the points with two race wins and 11 playoff points so far. This is only their third race. He already has 11 playoff points, one stage win.
He's racking them up already.
Oh yeah, he knows how important those are. Then the second is Chandler Smith. Third is Riley Herbst. Fourth is A.J. Allmendinger. Fifth is Cole Custer. And sixth is Sheldon Creed, who also had a bad race, but, you know, still managed to keep to stay up there. Then the highest rookie is, of course, the one we were talking about, Jesse Love. Then we go to Justin Allgaier, Sammy Smith, Brandon Jones, Parker Kligerman and Anthony Alfredo, who round out the top 12, since they take the top 12 into the playoffs. Yeah, then right below him is Ryan Sieg. Ryan Sieg, all the last few seasons, we've talked about him. You know, he's been close. He's been there. And look, there he is again, you know, in the 13th spot. And then Shane... SVG, you know, sitting at 16th or, you know, the points. I'm sure we're going to see a big how many chases out of, you know, within the next 5-10 races. I think we're going to see drivers
Once you get the second half of the season, I think we'll see better things from him.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot better things from drivers like Jeb Burton, who had a strong season last year. He's sitting 24th in points. And also, I think Sad Bear, once he gets this gremlin out of him, you know, I think we're going to see, you know, Sam Mayer, you know, climb. Also, another one's going to climb that hill. I'm surprised Jeremy Clements hasn't had better finishes, or, you know, even drivers like Brennan. Well, Ryan Truex had a really good season last year. You know, I'm sure he's hoping to, you know, to pop in there, you know, pop in there also. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how
in
these,
that top 12. In that top 12, there are some pretty close battles going on there, too, Sal. For the sixth place, you've got Sheldon Creed and Jesse Love that are tied at 52 points. And then further down the list on that cut line, Anthony Alfredo, who's in 12th place, and Ryan Sieg, who's in 13th place, even though they're tied, Anthony gets the edge and is above the cut line, while Ryan Sieg is below the cut line, even though they have exactly the same amount of points. But all through that list, you see really tight and close battles going on for points. Austin Hill separated himself from the rest of the field. There's 22 points between him and second place driver there. So it's going to be fun to see how it continues to play out.
Yeah, so you got to remember once these drivers start getting the race wins, you know, Cole, I'm sure we're going to see Cole grab a race win or two this year. Riley Herbst might grab one or two. Even Jesse Love, the way he's been running, you know, she's starting to carry a little bit more and more. You know, we might even see the rookie grab a race win this year. I mean, there's still some drivers down there, you know, that can get in there. Sam Mayer knows how to win. Jeff Burton showed us faster than he knows how to win. You know, so it's gonna be interesting to see as the season progresses. You know, Justin Allgaier, you know, he's just getting started, you know. He's good for a win or two. So it's gonna be interesting as the season gets going, you know, on how these foul points, how they're gonna play out.
It always is, and we always have fun doing it. So we're definitely looking forward to this season. One of these days, Sal, we've got to get you to stay on for Hot Topics with our rest of our Fan for Racing crew, because I know Mike has something up there about what do we know so far after three races. And a lot of people now are considering Las Vegas to be the first real race of the season, because Atlanta and Daytona have been more like super speedway races, which is kind of the exception and not the rule. So we'll see how it continues to play out. We've got Phoenix coming up next. That's a short track, so there's a lot of people that could win at a short track.
Exactly. You know what? And another thing, now that we're going to jump into the Cup Series, you know, we're talking about this the last couple of weeks. And, you know, one of my buddies tells me, he goes, dude, he goes, I haven't watched NASCAR in like 5, 6 years, 7 years. He goes, where's everybody at? He goes, there's nobody around. He goes, where's everybody at? You know, he's talking about the big name drivers, you know, Kevin Harvick's gone, you know.
You're retiring.
Carl Edwards is gone. You know, Eric Almirola, you know, he stepped out.
Jeff,
you know,
Gordon. Dale Earnhardt.
You know, and he's saying, he goes, like, who are these drivers? He goes, who is William Byron, an iRacing driver, and he's winning races? He goes, come on, give me a break. You know, he goes, Stuart Haas Racing doesn't have one veteran on the team. You know, he goes, look at the drivers they have. They're all kids. You know, he goes, what happened to the NASCAR? You know, when drivers were 23, 24, 25, 26 years old, you know, some of these kids, they can't even celebrate with champagne, he goes, because they're not even 21 yet.
Yep. it's a changing environment, and there's a lot of reasons for why it's changing, but that's we have to talk about that on Hot Topics maybe.
Yeah, and then when you think about it, Sharon, this is the only sport that you can buy your way into the top series.
Yeah, I know. We've talked about that
a
lot.
You know, this is the only sport. Yeah, I mean, baseball, I don't care how much money you have. If you don't have what it takes, you are not going to make it to the major leagues. Football,
mm-hmm.
basketball, golf, any other sport, soccer, you are not going to be a major player unless you work your way up and you earn it 100%. NASCAR is the only
That's
sport.
You need to be on Hot Topics. You're talking Hot Topics here.
You know, you can just throw some money out there and say, hey, you know what, I want to race. You know, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad.
It is. All right, let's get into the NASCAR Cup Series race that took place on Sunday. Kyle Larson held off Tyler Reddick for his second straight Las Vegas win. Based on the box score alone, you might think Kyle Larson dominated on Sunday, but that was not the case. Larson led 181 of 267 laps. Kyle Busch led the second most at 18. That's a huge difference. Yes, Larson swept the first two stages and took the checkered flag to secure his third victory at Las Vegas. He ties Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski now for the most among full-time active Cup Series drivers. So it was his first win of the year, the third at Las Vegas, and the 24th win of his career. Larson dominated much of the race, but had to hold off multiple charges by Reddick through the last half of the race. There was a 10-minute red flag early in the race for wall repair. Chris Buescher got into the outside wall, and he had a tire blowout, and that caused that red flag in order to repair the wall. Kyle Larson won the first two stages, as I mentioned. But the rest of the finishers, you had Tyler Reddick in second, Ryan Blaney, Ross Chastain, and Ty Gibbs round out the top. Then it was Noah Gragson, Martin Truex Jr., Denny Hamlin, the pole winner Joey Logano, and William Byron rounding out that top 10. There were 24 lead changes among 15 drivers, 6 cautions for 35 yellow flag laps, and the average speed of this race was 133.192 miles per hour. The highest finishing rookie of the race was Carson Hocifar, but his teammate Ryan Blaney was not too happy with the way he was racing. So we'll have to see how that plays out as the season progresses and see how that continues to play out. Your thoughts about the top 10 there in the Cup Series race.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that I don't think Carson Hocifar will ever get it. You know, his second year, and I just
he's like a wild arrow out there.
He's like a Ross Chastain when you think about it. But anyways, yeah, as far as the top 10, I mean, yeah, congratulations to Kyle Larson winning the race. I thought for a while Tyler Reddick, he got close. I thought he was going to get him, but it was not to be. You know, I don't even know if he'd had more laps if he could have caught him, because by then Kyle had already, you know, figured out, you know, what Reddick was up to, you know, so he wasn't going to play his game. But
right.
The driver to watch, and everybody hates it. Man, this Ty Gibbs, he's doing well, and he runs up front, and then something happens that he loses all his positions. But I mean, he's running up front a lot, so I mean, you got to watch this. I have a feeling that Ty Gibbs is is going to get a win this year.
Yeah, I think so. I think he will.
He's really become a player, really become a driver, and I think he's probably one of the youngest kids out there right now.
Yep. He definitely is. Noah Gregson had a good run, too.
Yeah. Noah stayed out of trouble, you know what, and didn't do anything stupid, you know, didn't, wasn't the typical Noah, you know, so of course, you know, he's going to, you know, have a good run out there in Vegas, you know, his home track, and you know, congratulations to him on, you know, on the run. The key is, can he put more of these weeks together? You know,
yeah, I agree.
I mean, it's one thing to have a good run, but it's one thing to put them together consistently, you know.
That's exactly right.
You know, like the Larsons, like the Blaneys, like the Truexes, like the Hamlins, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's going on with Chase Elliott? You know, he just hasn't, ever since he got in that accident, he sat out. Chase Elliott hasn't really been the same.
Yeah.
Never seen much from Chase Elliott. Now he's a bit, I'm sure, 12th place finish. Still outside of the top 10. You know, but I mean, when you look at all the drivers from sixth up, they're all young. Kyle Larson's still young.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Larson's got a lot of experience though with all the other racing guys. Tyler Reddick is still a young driver. Ryan Blaney's young. Chastain is probably, I think Chastain might be the oldest out of the top six. And then, of course,
mm-hmm.
you go down to Martin Truex and Danny Hamlin, who are both, you know, both the older, Brad Keselowski at 13th. But, boy, Kyle Larson really put on a show for the fans over there in Vegas.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. In this race, only one car had an accident, and that was Chris Buescher. Early on, lap 27, he was out. He had that flat tire, and it wasn't his fault. They didn't get the lug nut on there correctly, and the lug nut came loose and caused him to have that accident. So I felt bad for Chris Buescher when that happened, because that took him out very early. And he's had some good runs this year as well.
Yeah, and Derek Cross made another start.
Yeah, Derek
Cross
made another
28 team. Made another start in the Cup Series.
Mm-hmm.
So,
the margin of victory in this race was 0.441 thousandths of a second. So this was a close one.
Yeah, it was a close one. Right, that I thought when Tyler came up to Kyle, I thought he was going to get him, and then he didn't. That was
mm-hmm.
it. But you know, it's neat to see Kyle, you know, celebrate with his kids, you know, with his son and Victory Lane, and you know,
yeah, that was fun to see.
For,
I enjoyed that a lot. Let's go ahead and cover the points, Sal, before we run out of time.
Okay. Let's see the points. I just had a lot just looking at them. Driver points are, excuse me, Kyle Larson leading the driver points, one win. Second is Ryan Blaney. Third is Martin Truex Jr. Fourth is William Byron, who had the big win in Daytona. Fifth is Ross Chastain. Sixth is Kyle Busch. Seventh is Chase Elliott. And eighth is Dennis Suarez, who had that win in last weekend in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what
we're going to go on. Yeah, that was a wow. That was a nobody.
That was a big thing.
And then, yeah, it was. And then from there we go to Ty Gibbs in ninth, Denny Hamlin 10th, Austin Cindric 11th, Tyler Reddick in 12th, Alex Bowman 13th, Bubba Wallace 14th, Eric Jones 15th, and John Hunter Nemechek round out the top 16 in points.
Yeah, it's amazing how tight this one is. Only 8 points between Kyle Larson and Ryan Blaney right now. But there's a tie here for the sixth spot between Kyle Busch and Chase Elliott. They're both tied at 23 points back. And then you've got also tied for that ninth spot. I think we just talked about that. Ty Gibbs and Denny Hamlin, teammates, both tied for that ninth spot as well at 31 points back. So this is going to be another one. Time will sort it all out. But the points are pretty tight as we speak. So,
yeah, you know,
Sal,
when you look at the Stuart Haas cars, huh?
No, go ahead.
No, I'm saying when you look at the Stuart Haas cars, you have Ryan Preece sitting at 36 spot that Tony Stewart had said was going to be the saving grace for he was going to be the guy that, you know, that was going to come in and change the world for Stuart Haas Racing. Of course, they brought in Noah Gregson, mm-hmm. who's going to be the one for this year.
Yep.
You look at Josh Berry, who came in with no funding, who Tony said was his guy, you know, sitting in 30th. And
mm-hmm.
other than that, then you have, where's their other driver at?
Well, the Chase Briscoe is 20th. And
there you go, Chase Briscoe. There he is.
Yeah, Raleigh Earps was in the race. No, he wasn't in the race this week. He was in four, but not this particular race.
He raced Daytona.
Right, right.
Riley raced Daytona. So, gosh, it's hard to believe. We used to have like 45, 46, 47 regular cup drivers. And now when you look, mm-hmm. we're down to 35 regulars.
Yeah, we'll have to. Sponsorship, that's the name of the game. And if you don't have sponsorship, it's hard to field a card anymore in NASCAR. Sal, are you going to be at a racetrack at all this weekend, or are you going to Phoenix?
No, Irwindale, we're finally having our opening race, so I'm hopefully, there's no rain in the forecast, so we're finally going to get a race in. I've only done one race this year, and that's the Clash. Gosh, I can't believe that everything's gotten rained out.
Yeah, it's been that way across the whole country. We're getting rain now.
So we have Irwindale this week, and then next week, and we finally get the first Carstow West race over here. And it's going to be neat because Kevin Harvick's going to be the Grand Marshal.
Yeah, I love that they named the track Kevin Harvick's Kern Raceway. I think that's going to be fantastic. And Kevin's going to do a lot, I think, to help build up that whole West Coast thing. And you can see that he's already started to do it. So. I think it's going to be fantastic to watch that continue as well. Well, Sal, it's sad to say, but it's time for me to say goodnight to you until we meet again next week.
Yeah, I know I'm going to go back, lay back down for another few hours before I go to work tonight. So.
I know. I really thank you for being on the show. You're welcome to stay for Hot Topics if you want to stay on for Hot Topics.
I need my rest. We had a 9-hour night and then an hour drive home, hour and a half drive home at 6 a.m. The traffic isn't actually what I call a very fun evening.
Okay, well, get some rest and we'll see you next week.
Okay. All right. Good night,
everybody. Thanks, you know.
Okay.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye. Good night.
All right, that was Sal Segala, and now we're ready for NASCAR Hot Topic Sound Off. And joining us for this show tonight, we have Jay Huseman here. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Well, thank you. I can certainly relate to what you were talking about there with Sal. I had to get some rest. I was late for my 6:30 meeting and trying to catch up. So I am on the road to get back home right now, but got my headphones in, so I was able to call in.
Okay, great. Thank you for doing that, Jay. And then also Andy Lasky is here. No, Andy's not here. I think that's I know we have Michael Orzel here.
Hello. Yes, I am. I'm here, and I'm ready to do this thing.
Okay. And it's Tommy Kraft that is here tonight. Welcome to the show, Tommy.
And
are you there, Tommy?
Hey, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, now I can. Now we hear
Sorry
you.
Sorry about that. How are y'all?
Okay.
Thanks for having me again.
We're glad to have you, Tommy. Okay, Jay, I know you might, do you want to do the first topic or do you want to wait? Jay, are you on mute?
And I'll let Mike pick which one of those he wants to address first.
We didn't hear what you said, but Mike, do you know what he's talking about?
I didn't hear him either, but I think it sounded like he was going to punt to me to pick one. So I guess we can, let's just talk about some of our broader impressions. We had what everyone's saying was the first quote-unquote real race this weekend, right? Obviously, we had the Daytona 500. We had the race in Atlanta. But both of those kind of have a feeling as not being a real race. So what did we learn this weekend? I guess we can start with the Cup Series, and we can work our way down from there. So what do we have that we've learned from the Cup Series that we think is a pretty solid thing going forward for the rest of this year?
Okay, Tommy, what are your takeaways?
Okay, well, I'm looking at Mike's post here, and I'll hit on, to start off with, that Hendrick and Chevy's look good, and I agree with Mike's statement on that. I mean, Byron won the 500, and Suarez won Atlanta, and then Kyle Larson just won this weekend. So Chevy's off to a good start. I mean, not only that, but, like, William Byron went a lap down early in the race and fought his way back to the top 10. I mean, Chevys are looking good this year. And, you know, Ford and Toyotas, they do have Toyota has a new body to their car, so that might be something that they're working on. And I believe Ford just, like, changed, like, something on their front of their car, I believe, when they went to the Dark Horse, I believe is what it's called, the Mustang. I mean, I've really enjoyed the season so far this year. I do have to say that, you know, Daytona and Atlanta were a little bit more entertaining than Vegas this past weekend, but you know, Tyler Reddick almost made it interesting there at the end. I really thought with two laps to go he was about to pass Larson, but he wasn't able to do it. So if he would have won, though, Toyota would have gotten their first win this season. First official win, because I know that they won both duels with Christopher Bell and Tyler Reddick. But, I mean, while they count, they don't exactly count. So, you know, to me, the best race this weekend was the Ford race, the truck race that Rajah Karuth won. I felt like that was the best Vegas race this weekend versus Xfinity and Cup. I would say Cup was next, and then Xfinity. The Xfinity race was kind of snoozy. I didn't really catch most of it. I believe, I've already forgotten who won that race, John Hunter Nemechek. But, yeah, I'm enjoying the season so far, and they're going to Phoenix next week, but I know next month they're going to be going to Martinsville and Talladega, and I can't wait.
Okay. Andy, what are your thoughts about the season so far in Cup Series? Are you still with us, Andy? Okay. Oh, why am I saying Andy?
Yeah,
I'm
Andy,
sorry.
Andy was never with us unless he just called in.
Yeah, no, Andy's not here. I keep thinking Andy's here. If Jay, I was going to call on, and I'm bringing him back into the queue because he dropped. Okay, Jay, are you ready?
Yeah, I just caught the tail end of Tommy's there before, I guess, my call dropped, so appreciate you bringing me back in. I'd have to agree the consensus, and if you look at the points races, three per series, Chevrolet has won eight of them. John Hunter Nemechek got mentioned for the Xfinity Series, the only Toyota. However, if you watch the races, you can't just look at the results page. That there has been some competitiveness when it comes to these races. You mentioned Tyler Reddick. Every stage, to include the end of the race, Tyler Reddick was there and putting some serious pressure on Kyle Larson. I know it looked like he dominated, and he did have one of the best cars, but Tyler Reddick was running him down every time. So I think there is some great parity, which is what I like. Right now, Chevrolet has gotten the finishing results, but there has been some parity. The Fords have been up there on the front row for qualifying. So the mix is there. Right now, Chevy is just getting the victories. Hendrick Motorsports leading the way. I know Mike put it as of all four of them ran good. There's still a little bit of a gap. Larson and Byron are winning and running up front. Chase Elliott, Alex Bowman were running around 10th. So those two teams still missing just a little bit. But there, too, I figure that will pick up as we get more into the season, as he said, the first real race of the year. And, again, it's early. So now we're talking about one race that's not a super speedway, not always a whole lot you can take from one race, small sample size. Once we get through Phoenix and then a short track of Bristol, I think there is about where we can start talking about what we're going to see for the year unless some major changes take place.
Okay. Yeah, I think the racing has been pretty good this season. Tommy mentioned that he thought the truck race was the best race of the three. And I thought that was kind of interesting because at Daytona, we thought the truck race was horrendous. So they cleaned up their act, it seems like, and they've gotten better. I know the Atlanta race was good, and now this was a good race as well. And I know we're supposed to be talking about Cup Series right now, right? So in the Cup Series, it's Chevrolet. That's the big story that Chevrolet has done. You know, they've been out there winning a lot of these races really kind of domineering the early part of the season. We're going to a short track next week, so we'll have to see. That'll be a different kind of track for the season, the second real race of the season, and see how they do there. But I have no reason to think that Chevrolet isn't going to continue their dominance this year. They just really have their stuff together and just seem to be kind of running on all cylinders, if you will. I think... Sal was just kind of talking about this, and I think this is one thing that the Cup Series is going to be going through. We've got a lot of stars that are still in the Cup Series, but one of the things Sal brought up was that he had a buddy that was watching a few years ago, and he came back to NASCAR because of all the good racing that's been going on, and he's wondering where everybody went to. We've lost a lot of big names in the Cup Series with Jeff Gordon and Kevin Harvick leaving and Carl Edwards isn't there anymore. We still have some big names there, but he was a mate. Dale Earnhardt Jr. isn't racing anymore. A lot of the big, big, big names in NASCAR are not there anymore. So I think in this next few years, we're going to see a lot of new names in the Cup Series, but already we're seeing some of the younger guys, the guys that weren't that young, that were young not that many years ago, are now going to become the veterans very quickly and doing quite well. So It's going to be interesting to see who becomes the next big name in the Cup Series because of the transition that's kind of taking place right now. So we'll see how that plays out. Kyle Larson certainly is going to be one of those that are going to rise to the top. But I think we're going to see some other new names that are coming into the sport now that will rise to the top as well. So I think that's going to be fun to watch. Mike?
I think the biggest story here, like you guys have hit on, is Chevrolet. I don't know why, but going into this, you know, it seemed like there were a lot of people that thought Chevrolet was going to be at a disadvantage because of the new bodies for Ford and Toyota. I never really bought into that because, if you remember a couple of years ago, Chevrolet went to the Camaro ZL1 1LE body, which they're still currently running. And remember the first probably at least half a season worth, if not a full season, Chevrolet really struggled to figure out that platform. So it doesn't really surprise me that Ford and Toyota, I wouldn't say they're off the pace. In fact, I would say that they are much more comparable in terms of results to Chevrolet than Chevrolet was when their new ZL1 came out a few years ago. So if you look at the results just from Las Vegas yesterday, you had a Chevrolet, a Toyota, and a Ford, 1, 2, 3, and then you had another Chevrolet, a Ford, and a Toyota, 4, 5, 6. So I think there's a lot of parity in NASCAR right now, and that's a good thing for us as fans. So that's definitely good. As far as what teams are for real or not, Hendrick Motorsports for sure, especially the 5 and the 24, are definitely leaps and bounds ahead of pretty much the rest of the field. They've won 2 out of the 3 races so far this year. Very competitive at all of them. I don't know if I want to say all 4 cars, but no fewer than 2 cars every single weekend. And then the 9 was decent this weekend. The 48 was okay. Hendrick Motorsports is looking good to start the year. Another Chevrolet team that's looking good this year is Trackhouse. We saw Daniel Suarez win last week in Atlanta, and the big question was he going to back it up? Suarez wasn't as big of a contender this past weekend at Las Vegas, but Ross Chastain certainly was. He did very, very well, was able to make his way through traffic several times, and I don't know that he had race-winning speed, but he was certainly in contention as well. Tyler Reddick showed exactly where – he's going to pick up exactly where he left off last year with Toyota. I think he is probably Toyota's strongest contender right now. The other Toyotas, notably Christopher Bell, had issues early. Denny Hamlin was really a non-factor the entire day, as was the rest of Joe Gibbs Racing, with the exception of Ty Gibbs. Ty Gibbs scoring himself a top 10. I think we talked about him after the clash, and I'm back on it again. I'm going to beat the Ty Gibbs drum a little bit. I really think Ty Gibbs is someone we need to keep an eye on this year, and it would not surprise me one bit to see him in victory lane anytime soon. So overall, I really like what I've seen so far this year at the Cup Series. Not a lot of huge surprises. I wouldn't say I'm shocked by anything that I've seen so far. But, yeah, overall, I think we're off to a really solid start, and I like where we're going, and I like where we're heading from here.
Okay, Tommy, any follow-up?
I agree with what you said, how we were talking about how bad the truck race was at Daytona, but to me, this weekend, the truck race was the best race of the weekend. The Daytona one was really bad just because of all the wrecking and everything. This weekend, they definitely rebounded for sure. It was a good, clean race, and Caruth got the win. I think the season's off great. I am a Hendrick fan, so I love seeing the 24 car doing good. And I do actually have to say that I think Chase Elliott has ran well this year so far. I mean, compared to Byron and Larson, obviously not as well, but I think he'll probably rebound. I think we'll see all 4 Hendrick cars win this year. And, looking forward to Phoenix.
Okay, Jay, any follow-up?
Well, I know it's a phrase Larry McReynolds likes to use when we talk about individual races, but right now we're still early in this part of the season of what you kind of call comers and goers. We know that Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, Austin Dillon, to name 3 that were in the 30s of points, had a good weekend this weekend. They're up into the 20s.
There were a couple. Bubba Wallace, I hate to pick on him, but first two races had two top fives. The only driver to finish in the top 10 in the first two races had his problems, come back out and finished his race or whatever. But, and I don't have the points standing candy, but dropped in points, as did Michael McDowell. Another one, Corey LaJoie. They had a strong start with those two races. That first off one, there's a lot of shifting going on. And as this parity continues, we could see a lot of that all the way throughout this season. And I'm already, I know it's only three races in. We got 23 more to go before we even hit the playoffs. But I think that cut line could be extremely huge when it comes to points, if it takes points. I know every year so far we got three different winners, three different races, and there's a lot of drivers that could have won races, Tyler Reddick, Joey Logano. So looking forward to that, because as it is that competitive, Sharon, you and I talk about this when we do the preview show and talk about the points. Ties, 1 point, 2 point, going to be very important. Now, we know that teams like Joey Logano, the 22, had their rough start, have rebounded on their way back up. Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski, we know they're capable of winning. We see ones that are on the verge of winning, such as Ty Gibbs got mentioned. So there again, when you look at last year, okay, we had Kevin Harvick retire. He's obviously not in. Who fills that spot? And if we get the new winner of Ty Gibbs, he's in or gets in on points, who's out? So I'm already, like I said, I'm trying not to, but I'm already looking at, man, what's the playoff grid going to look like?
Yeah, I think it's the parity. The parity has been fantastic. And we have seen, like you said, Jay, some drivers that did really well at Daytona and Atlanta maybe didn't do quite as well when they went to Las Vegas. But I think Hendrick Motorsports definitely has some strength this year. And I know that in some recent years we said, where are they? Because it didn't seem like they had that strength. They definitely have that strength now with William Byron and Kyle Larson. I'd say they are the leaders. And then Chase Elliott and Alex Bowman are not that far behind, but you've got to think that they've got to be sharing some notes there and trying to figure out what they're not doing that's going so well for Kyle Larson and William Byron. So we'll have to see how that plays out. I really thought Chase Elliott was going to have a good run at Atlanta, and gosh, it wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. So we'll have to see how that continues to play out. But I think parity is the other big story here between all the manufacturers, especially now that there's the rumor about Honda possibly coming in. I think that these guys all want to be at the top of their game, and that parity is going to be a big, big deal. But I think we might see kind of the cream rise to the top as the season progresses, and that's what I'm looking forward to seeing as we get into the different racetracks and different part of the season, because some of these drivers that are new are maybe not going to do well in the first half of the season, but we may see them kind of figure things out and do better in that second half of the season. So I'm kind of anxious to see how the cream rises to the top. Hendrick looks like they're going to be part of that cream, but let's see how the season progresses and if that proves itself out down the line here. Mike? You get to wrap up our Cup Series thoughts there.
Well, sure. Jay kind of opened the door talking about points, right? We know it's the beginning of the season. Points don't matter. Oh, yeah, they absolutely matter. They matter already. Chase Elliott, he said in one of his interviews recently, he kind of found out the hard way last year just how much points matter. You guys kind of take that win and you're in for granted, and then all of a sudden you're Chase Elliott in the 9 car, and you miss a few races and you're in a hole points-wise, and you're trying to if you're unable to win a race, you're trying to lean on those points to get yourself back out of that hole, and sometimes it's just not there. So the way you can get the best way out of that hole is to not get in it to begin with. So guys like Joey Logano, yeah, they've got plenty of time to recover, but we're three races into the season, and they're already talking about having to recover, and that's not a good place to be in. Yeah, there's 23 races left until the regular season cutoff, but to already be in recovery mode is not great, not a great way to start your season. So we're going to have to wait and see how the Logano, the RFK Fords, and a few others who we expect to be contenders throughout the year, how they end up recovering from this early season hole that they're in, because 23 races are going to go by quickly, and soon enough it's going to be August, and we're going to be talking about those guys who are 2 or 3 or 4 points short, and this is the time right now that you get those 2 or 3 or 4 points that you're going to be desperately begging for come August.
Absolutely right. Okay, Tommy, you get to bring up our next hot topic here. Are we going to go on to the Xfinity Series or a different topic?
I was going to bring up the Stuart Haas Racing and Ford to split rumors.
Okay. Jay, your thoughts about that rumor?
Well, as they always say, we've heard this before. It's come up again, picking up momentum. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And I say that with tongue-in-cheek because Tony Stewart's nickname is Smoke. We know he made a statement to the team, hey, do better or I'm going to make some serious changes. That possibility of Honda coming in brings an intrigue to it because as we talked about Front Row Motorsports becoming a tier one on the Ford program, typically a manufacturer has three tier one platforms. That platform is still under Penske, which Front Row Motorsports is now a part of, if you will, with their information sharing. You also have RFK. And who am I missing on the Ford side, Ben? Anyway, Stuart Haas Racing would be fourth. We've seen that they haven't exactly excelled the best over the past several years. So when it comes to that, that was the whole reason they left Chevrolet, for that same reason where you got Hendrick Motorsports and Richard Childress Racing, that they went to Ford to begin with. Now it seems like that's kind of shifted away, and they are in a contract year. So there's a lot of things riding on that when it comes to SHR. Whether or not Honda or any other manufacturer coming in, I think that would be one to highly look at when it comes to maybe needing to be the top team, because we saw what happened when they first went to Ford. Kevin Harvick won the championship. So they have the capability. I know right now they got a crop of young drivers as they had to replace both Kevin Harvick as well as Eric Almirola. And since Mike didn't do it, of drivers we didn't see, Noah Gregson, No, he got a top 10. I don't remember exactly where he finished. Had a good run there at Vegas, at least showing some signs of life. Chase Briscoe overall had a good race. Again, maybe not the finish. Ryan Preece had some issues all weekend long. So the speed is there. Again, it's putting it all together, which it seems like that's what their problem has been over several years, to include the lack of speed. At least we're seeing the speed in the cars so far this year when it comes to SHR, part of that being with, we mentioned, the Dark Horse Ford. So I can see the possibility of them making a huge change when it comes to that of manufacture. Whether or not it's another new manufacturer would be have to wait and see. But if not, then where do they go? Because I really don't see it being Toyota, and Chevrolet, as we mentioned, already has multiple top-tier programs with Hendrick, Trackhouse, Richard Childress Racing, so they'd go back to being fourth in line. So it's an interesting scenario.
Okay, Mike, your thoughts?
Well, Jay kind of brings up the point of, obviously nothing's been announced, it's all speculation, but there's a lot of smoke right now. And there hasn't been any direct ties of, Yes, Stuart Haas Racing is going to Honda. No one has officially been making that word, but it seems like there's two separate rumors that are circulating that really seem to conveniently line up with each other. One, that Stuart Haas Racing is leaving Ford, and two, that Honda is coming to NASCAR. It's kind of natural that you meld those two together, and it really starts to sound like Stuart Haas Racing might actually become a Honda team if Honda were to enter the sport, which it sounds like they might. I will point out, though, Jay, Kevin Harvick won his championship in 2014, and Stuart Haas was still a Chevrolet team at the time. So, no, Harvick did not win his championship in a Stuart Haas Ford. It was still a Stuart Haas Chevrolet. With that said, a switch to Honda might just be the shot in the arm that Stuart Haas needs. They've been running Fords for the better part of a decade at this point, and it seems like every year the performance has declined. Probably their high watermark was 2018, the year after they switched to Ford, and I believe it was 2017. Every year since then, 2019 and beyond, has been a decline in performance from their previous year. And we're at the point now where they've had almost a complete driver refresh. All of their drivers are less than 5 years in the car, less than 5 years in the Cup Series. And at the same time, it really looks like the equipment is going away as well. It's really hard to say whether Kevin Harvick's performance for the last couple of years of his career were a matter of he's kind of getting old. And we know that most drivers, as they get older towards that retirement age, they do tend to have a drop off in performance. Or if it was the equipment leaving him, and Kevin Harvick was getting the very best that that equipment had to offer him. It probably is somewhere in the middle, but either way, I don't think anyone can argue that Stuart Haas Racing's equipment is where it was back in 2018 when they were running up front week after week. So something needs to happen at Stuart Haas Racing, and I know Andy's usually the one beating that drum pretty viciously. Something needs to change at Stuart Haas Racing, and a switch of manufacturer to Honda might just be the big change that Stuart Haas needs to get them that jolt of energy, that shot in the arm, to get them back to being competitive again.
Yeah, I would agree. This is big news. I remember the last time, if I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, that it was a big surprise when we found out that Stuart Haas Racing was dropping Chevy and going to Ford. I don't think anybody was expecting to hear that, and then when we did hear it, it was almost unbelievable. But this time it seems like they've got it out in the rumor mill already. What we don't know is what is going on behind the scenes. If it's falling out between Stewart and Ford, or if this is just end of the rope thing, we're not getting results, we've got to do something different. I think it's going to be interesting to see if they do take up the Honda reign or if they go back to Chevrolet or whatever. It seems like they're always on the wrong side of those things because they were going through that slump with Chevrolet when that Camaro came out that Mike was talking about a little while ago and then switched over to Ford. And now Ford's in the slump. It seems like, although not everybody in Ford is in a slump, but it seems like they've taken a step back. And so now they're ready to jump that ship and jump onto another ship. So we'll see if wherever they jump next, we'll see if it works out for them. My concern is that these guys might be just kind of getting their footing with this Ford product, and now they're going to have to relearn and go to the Honda product, so or Chevrolet or wherever they decide to go. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting, but they do have to do something because where they've been in recent years is really not good. And if they want to be competitive and win championships, they can't keep doing what they've been doing because that's not going to work. Tommy?
I believe I brought this up on my last week when we were doing Hot Topics and my call dropped, but I believe the Hot Topic was Honda rumored to come to NASCAR. And I believe I was talking about how Stuart Haas was going to be who Honda goes to. So to pick up where I left off and hopefully the call doesn't drop, you know, in addition to seeing it on Twitter, I mean, it just makes sense. Stuart Haas has struggled like the last two or three years ever since Kevin Harvick had that like 9 or 10 win season during COVID. Ever since then, they've started to slowly decline. I do think that they have some good prospects in Chase Briscoe and Josh Bam and Noah Gragson. And the series, they look great. But they definitely, in the Cups, need something different to change. And I believe this switch to Honda, if it does happen, would, you know, greatly benefit them. I automatically think of Brett Everingham and Dodge with Bill Elliott and Jeremy Mayfield and later Casey Kane. They came in, got Dodge, and, you know, I believe Bill Elliott won the Brickyard 500 that year, and Jeremy Mayfield won, like, two races in a season, I think, Richmond and Michigan maybe or something like that. So, you know, it was a revival that they needed. So my only question would be, who would be the other team? Like, they would come in, take over Stuart Haas, or Stuart Haas would switch to Honda. But who would be the Hondas and the trucks and the Xfinity series, which, I mean, of course, if they go to the Cup Series and get Stuart Haas, then Cole Custer and Riley Herbst would, I guess, be the guys in the Xfinity series that would get Honda. But, you know, thinking about who in the truck and Xfinity series, or who could be the Honda teams other than Stuart Haas. One I'd like to bring up, too, would be Spire. I know that they're looking really good right now with Chevy this year, so that might not happen. But I'm thinking of, like, a small team that could also switch over to Honda, you know, maybe Rick Ware Racing for the Xfinity series. Well, yeah. You know what I'm saying. So who would be those teams that would get the Honda? You know, be thinking of a team that's struggling or a small team that Honda could come in, take over. Like Legacy Motorsports, they just switched to Toyota this year because they were struggling. You know, if they don't do well in Toyota, maybe they could switch to Honda. I mean, just thinking of all the crazy ideas out there that could happen. And, I mean, yeah, we talked about it last week, and Stuart Haas is pretty much it's still rumors right now, but it really is looking like, according to Twitter, that Honda is going to come into the sport next year, and Stuart Haas is leaving for it. So I think it'll only be a matter of time this year before we get an announcement.
Okay, Jay, what are you thinking?
Well, Tommy said something about some crazy ideas, and it is under speculation and rumors, with Spire Motorsports being possibly the other team, which would then include the truck series. From what we know, that there is some ties with Gainbridge as a sponsor, as well as Michael Andretti. He has talked about coming into NASCAR. He obviously has ties to Honda when it comes to the open wheel, and so there, that one really isn't all that far stretched. So if you're looking to have two teams, Stuart Haas Racing, as call them a championship team, I know they haven't been at that level as of late, but a solid team that has championships, and an up-and-coming growing team like Spire Motorsports, I mean, those are two very solid teams you could put together with a new manufacturer, if and when they come in, and if it is Honda, and if Stuart Haas Racing leaves Ford. I know I mentioned this last week, and I'm trying really hard not to put any hope in it, but Tony Stewart also has ties to Dodge. Maybe that is one that can draw Dodge back in. I'm just going to leave it at that because I don't want to get Tommy fired up on that either. But there was that little speculation as with Tony Stewart and his drag racing, the tie to Dodge, had some Dodge signs in his shop. And yeah, I tried to ignore it, but I still have that little bit of hope.
Okay, Mike, what are you hoping for?
I mean, while we're hoping, I guess I can ask for a pony for Christmas, because that's probably about as likely as Dodge coming back into NASCAR anytime soon. My understanding is Stellantis is not in the best financial position due to the nature of the car market. So Stellantis being the parent company of Dodge, it's all the whole Fiat Chrysler massive conglomerate that the Dodge falls under. But anyway, yeah, the car market is not great right now. And to be honest, I'm kind of surprised to hear talk of Honda coming, because Honda is not immune to the issues that the car industry is having right now. So to have a manufacturer even considering coming into NASCAR is a pleasant surprise, is how I would describe it. Now, again, we're all just speculating here. Nothing has been announced. It's probably about equal parts guesswork versus wishful thinking. Especially on Jay's part, I would say it's probably 60-40 wishful thinking at least, if not more than that. But either way, we really don't know anything for sure. Nothing has been announced. It is all just speculation, rumor, hearsay, and, well, a lot of wishful thinking, like I said. So what would that look like? Well, we're making a lot of assumptions here. We are assuming that if Honda is to enter NASCAR, that they would do so by entering all three series. Says who? Why do we have to assume that Honda would join in and run the Cup Series also with the Xfinity Series and also with the Truck Series? It makes sense somewhat, especially if they do end up with SHR. SHR has a built-in Xfinity Series car, so potentially. But there's really no strong tie-in over in the Truck Series, and it may be not worth their time and effort to run the Truck Series, especially since Honda doesn't have a big truck competitor to the F-150, the Chevy Silverado, and the Toyota Tundra. Honda doesn't really play in that market, so it may not be worth their time or effort to stand up a truck program to showcase the Ridgeline, which is a very different vehicle and not really a direct competitor to the Chevys, the Fords, and the Toyotas, that those nameplates that run currently in the Craftsman Truck Series. So I don't know what a Honda entry into NASCAR would look like. It might be Stuart Haas Racing. It might be somebody else. It might be a standby. It might be Ray Evernham coming back and bringing in another team. I doubt it, but we really don't know what it's going to be. It could be that the Stuart Haas is leaving Ford rumors and the Honda is coming rumors are tied together, but it could just as easily be that they are completely separate things and we're reading in too much that they're somehow related. We're just going to have to wait and see how this pans out. I would be surprised if we know anything before summer. This really feels like something that they would wait until at least towards the end of the year, if not the upcoming off season, to really announce any kind of plans for.
Okay. I guess I'm up next. I don't really have a whole lot more to add here. But I do remember that part of this, I'm trying to remember if when Toyota came in, if they came into just the Cup Series or if they also had entries in the Xfinity and Truck Series when they first came in. Did they?
They actually started in the trucks.
Okay. And then moved into the other series.
Correct.
Yeah, that's kind of another thought to keep in mind here, too. Maybe Honda is not going to start with all three series right at the very beginning. And they start with, like, the trucks or Xfinity and then move on to Cup. So that is kind of a big assumption. I know a lot of people are talking about it, but we don't really know what's going to happen until it happens, of course. And I know that a lot of people are saying Stuart Haas Racing could be with Honda. So we'll have to wait and see how it plays out. I think it would be a good addition to the sport if we were to get another OEM in here. But that takes some time and some energy to the point that I think Jay said that some of these other manufacturers are not really doing that well right now. So for them to come into the sport, I guess it was Mike that said that, it's kind of a surprise that they'd be doing that at this time when the economy's not really there. But we'll see how it plays out. And I think it will be a good when they do get to the Cup Series.
Yeah, these were just thoughts that were running through my head. You know, obviously everything is rumors and speculation and things, but if anything, they, in my opinion, Honda and Stuart Haas makes the most sense. But, Mike brought up a valid point. I mean, Honda doesn't really have a truck that competes with Chevy, Toyota, and Ford, or Dodge. So, maybe them getting in a truck series wouldn't make sense. But I feel like if you're going to manufacture in the sport, it makes sense to have them in all three, truck, Xfinity, and Cup. So, like I said, I think that we'll have some sort of announcement this year, whether it'll be like 2 years from now or a year from now or not at all. But the rumors are out there flying on Twitter and Reddit. And, I would love to see Dodge back. But Honda will work too. I mean, it'll definitely be interesting and fun to see another manufacturer. You know, I wish it could go back to the old days with Dodge and Pontiac, but I don't even think they make Pontiac anymore. So.
Yeah, those were the days. Okay, Jay, you get to bring up our next hot topic here.
Well, I know we got mentioned. I'm gonna pull up something from Andy here. I know he's obviously frustrated with Stuart Haas Racing. So his comment was, sell the charters to Dale Jr. and move on. And that was a kind of a thought rumor there a little bit anyway at one time. With that, I'm going to use that to go to the next topic. Jr. is moving on from NBC. You didn't talk about a shock and kind of something that came out of nowhere. Jr. not going to be on NBC to finish this season. He's taken the year off, but he will be back.
Okay, we did kind of talk about this, I believe, on Thursday. Mike?
Well, really nothing to add to the discussion that we had on Thursday. I'm interested to hear Jay's thoughts on this one since he wasn't with us on Thursday when we talked about it. But, yeah, obviously a very big move, a lot of moving pieces in there. There's definitely some rumors that were circulating, and even Dale Jr. jumped in and said, no, those rumors aren't true with regard to why he ended up leaving NBC. So we really don't know why he would have made that decision to leave, whether it was a negotiation that didn't go well or if NASCAR had a hand in it in order to prop up the new broadcast partners, namely Amazon and Warner Brothers Discovery. It may be that a little bit of a mutual thing there where everyone benefited, and we see Dale Jr. moving on from NBC. So that's my piece on that.
Okay, Tommy.
This one I didn't get to talk about the other day because I wasn't on, so I'm kind of glad it got brought up. I can't believe that NBC let Junior go. I know Junior is taking this year off, which stinks because even though he's retired, to me, ever since his dad passed away, like the torch was passed to him, even though he didn't win a championship and he only had 20 or 30 wins and there was other drivers better than him. To me, he's still the most popular driver and the most recognized name in NASCAR. So the fact that he won't be on television this year with NBC stinks because I actually like him in the booth. He's iconic, and I can't believe that NBC let him go and that we don't get to see him this year. What's interesting to me, though, is he's going to Amazon. To me, that makes me think about NASCAR and the current TV deal in the future. If Junior's going to Amazon, that makes me think that NASCAR will be televised on Amazon or streamed on Amazon or whatever you call it. So that's what's got me thinking about that. But either way, huge loss to NBC. I mean, like I said, in what I would think would be the perfect booth would be Alan Bestwick Jr. and you know, like a crew chief like Larry Mack or Steve Letard or Chad Knauss. I feel like that would be the perfect booth lineup, and it just stinks that he's not going to be in the booth this year.
Yeah, it definitely does stink that he's not going to be there. But I was thinking about this, and I think that there's some planning that's taking place here. And I think there's a reason why he's not going to be in the booth. And I think that is to prepare for the streaming services that are going to be coming in 2025. They've got to set all that stuff up. And I think it's a stroke of genius in some ways, taking Dale Jr., the most popular driver out there, and putting him on the streaming services, because when there was first talk about going to the streaming services, a lot of people were complaining about it. What better way to bring people to the streaming services than to have their most popular driver, the most popular broadcaster out there, promoting the streaming services and what NASCAR is going to be doing with that. One of the things that I don't think we articulated too well on Thursday is that Amazon and them are going to be streaming like the qualifying and practice sessions, and I think the regular races are going to be continue to be on like NBC and those channels. So, but still, I think it's really good to bring Dale Jr. on board with that. And maybe it takes a year to kind of get everything set up for how you're going to cover that for on a streaming service, which it might be a little bit different than what they do at NBC or even on Fox. So I think it was a good move. I think NASCAR has maybe a five-year plan to have their own streaming service at some point in time. That's my speculation. But I think that that's where it seems to me that that's where a lot of this is headed. And I think having Dale Jr. at the forefront of that is a good move. So, Jay, I'm like Mike. I'm curious to know what you have to say.
Well, I was going to apologize the fact that I didn't see that it had been covered by you guys on Thursday, but I didn't get to participate. Tommy didn't, so I am kind of glad I brought it up anyway. There's 2 points. As with anything, when we talk about something good, who made the 500, there's the good story. The bad story is somebody didn't. The good and bad here, the good is for Amazon. Sharon, you hit on it of, a lot of people maybe weren't in favor of the streaming. Well, you bring Dale Jr. in, that's going to bring people in at least to start with for the attention that Dale Jr. brings. You can't deny that. But I also look at it, it is not just his name. I thought he did a good job with Brock Tech.
Yeah.
And whether he covers tracks, sharing the tracks we were at, we'd see him out and about in the garage area, out on the track doing different things, and what he brings to the program as far as just information. So that's a great thing, as you said. For him personally, I don't know, you know, this year I saw somewhere he's taking bought a new RV, going to take some time with the family. Maybe it is. He wanted a little bit shorter schedule, even than half the season that he was doing with NBC. Don't know. Long-term plan of if this is what they're building for in the future of a long-term plan. Again, don't know. The bad part, though, is the loss to NBC. And I know Mike and I have gone back and forth of Fox versus NBC. I thought Dale Jr. and NBC do a good job. And, I mean, that's a huge loss. Tommy said it. Huge loss for NBC. But they also were kind of backing out or not as willing to commit what they did, which is why those 10 races are going to the streaming service to begin with. So I guess maybe it's, you know, what they needed as well. Wait to see how they go about filling his role. I know we went through that with Fox of waiting on Kevin Harvick, of what they did to fill that void. That'll be kind of interesting as well. But I think it's a huge loss to NBC. But I am happy for Junior if it fits in what his plans are and his family and his future as far as NASCAR. Again, it it brings that attention to the streaming that maybe brings a positive to what some people were taking as a negative. So, but I'm with Tommy. I think it's just a huge loss for NBC.
Okay, Mike, your follow-up?
Well, really nothing to add. Yeah, nothing really to add on this one. We've already kind of talked about it, and I'll defer to Tommy since he didn't get a chance to do two rounds on this on Thursday.
Okay, Tommy?
Well, I don't really have much to add either other than, I mean, maybe I already said it earlier, but, you know, huge win for Amazon getting Junior. I just want to know what the plan is for NASCAR. I feel like NASCAR is smart enough to realize that Junior is still very important to the sport, and the fact that Amazon was able to snag Junior, I mean, Amazon, I feel like it's going to be an all-around win for NASCAR because Amazon gets Junior. NASCAR, like I said, probably is smart enough to not let Junior go. So maybe this will see where NASCAR lands when it comes to streaming. But I actually didn't get this. I didn't bring this up. Who's going to replace Junior at NBC? That's another question I didn't think about. I guess they'll just have guy, I can't remember his name now. Steve Letarte, Jeff Burton, and Rick. Is that who I'm thinking of? I can't remember his name.
Rick
I know exactly
Allen.
What his voice is. Rick Allen. That's it. I couldn't remember his full name, but I actually don't mind him. But I mean, you know, compared to Mike Joy, I think I would take Mike Joy. But you know, who's going to be with him, or is it just going to be Allen, Burton, and Steve Letarte? Which is, and you know, that's not a bad lineup, but you know, you're losing Junior, so that's just a massive loss.
Yeah, I agree with you guys that it is a big loss. I was listening to SiriusXM radio over the weekend. I was on the road, so I had a chance to kind of listen. And Pete Pistone was bringing up, him and Mike Begley were talking about it, and they kind of felt like it is a big loss, but they felt like there's enough people on NBC that I'm not saying that he won't be missed, but there won't be a need to replace him because he felt like there were so many people talking about things that they didn't need that many people talking about all of that stuff. So he felt like that the number, the way it is now at NBC without Dale Jr., was a good number, and that you didn't have people kind of talking over each other or saying the same thing that each other are saying. So that's just another perspective I thought I'd throw out there. That's about the only thing I've got to add. But he didn't feel like NBC needed to do anything to replace him this year and that they'd be just fine without him. Not that he wouldn't be a loss. I want to make sure I'm saying that very clearly. They're going to feel the loss because Dale Jr. was good at his job and what he was doing. But they didn't feel that they needed to bring in a replacement for him. Jay, what are your final thoughts? Or wait a second.
Yeah,
before
I really
you go.
Okay, go ahead. No, I'll let you do your announcement. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I really didn't have much to add as far as that, but you bring up that interesting point. I hadn't heard that from Pete and Pistone and Mike Begley, but that is a valid point. Like you said, if you get too many that are trying to do coverage of certain aspects, you might be missing on the race itself. So that's a valid point. But I think the loss of his knowledge, his drawing power, kind of outweigh that. So there might have been a way to work around that. But it is, and as Tommy pointed out, the gain to Amazon, the gain to NASCAR, as far as him being the one to represent them on Amazon. So we'll have to wait and see how it all shakes out. But it was kind of a surprise, I guess. Just that's one of those we didn't really see coming until those rumors started early in the year. And it was one of those I figured will work itself out. They just hadn't finalized the deal yet or whatever. And then it was announced that he was leaving. It was kind of a shock to me.
Yes, indeed. I'm going to make an announcement here for our first-time listeners. If you're tuning in, we go off of the air at exactly 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. That doesn't mean that we're going to stop talking, though, because we will keep the conversation going, and that conversation will be recorded and become part of our bonus overtime material on our podcast. So if you've listened up to this point, when we get finished here, I'll go out on social media, Twitter and Facebook, and let you know that the podcast is available. At that point, you can go to the player that we have at FanforRacing.com and just fast forward to the two-hour mark and hear the rest of the conversation. So, again, we make this announcement at this time because we don't want anybody to be caught off guard when we go off air and we're still carrying on with our conversation. So with that, we're back to you, Mike. Do you have another hot topic you want to bring up?
Well, I guess I can pull my soapbox out, dust it off a little bit. And we can talk about whether practice needs to come back or not. That'll be the one I'll bring up.
Okay. Tommy, what are your thoughts about practice?
Yes, I think it should come back. Only because it would avoid some of the issues that I think the Truck Series and Cup Series are kind of having. Like, take the Truck and Arca Series, for example, at Daytona. I feel like had they had some practice, more track time, you know, it could have benefited those races played out. They wreck fest and inexperienced drivers, and more track time is better in my opinion. And for the Cup Series, why I think it's better is because it's the second year of this car now. And I mean, just take this past weekend at Vegas, like Chris Buescher's tire coming completely off. And I believe there were some other drivers that had right rear tire problems this past weekend. So, I mean, you know, working the kinks out of the cars, getting drivers more experience and more track time, I just feel like it would be beneficial to have practice back. But with that being said, I mean, we're now on, like, ever since COVID. So it's been 3 or 4 years now since practice has been, you know, a thing. I never cut on the TV and watch practice. So, but I do just feel like it would be beneficial for it to come back. But with that being said, even if they do bring it back, it's not like I'm going to watch it or miss it or anything like that. So, you know, I'll let y'all discuss it, but I mean, I think it's beneficial, but at the same time, I'm not going to watch it. And, you know, I don't know. What are y'all thoughts?
Okay, Jay, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I got thoughts on it. And it's one of those of, yes, there is benefit to it, but does it outweigh the cost? And I mean that literally, as in the cost of additional time on the track, teams at the track, whatever. And the benefit of it, of what does it really gain? We're talking about how great the racing is right now, and that's without practice. The more you practice, if some of them, especially at your super speedways, teams are only using, if they had an hour practice, we're only using 20 minutes of it because they wanted to protect their car. So is it really beneficial then? The second thing I look at, and this was a big point to me, was when fans don't want to see one team absolutely dominate, and this goes back to if you have the most money, you spend the most money on research and development, or when you had practice outside of or testing outside of the races, when they eliminated that because there were teams that could afford to go and test Monday through Friday for 10, 15, 20 hours a day, and so other teams don't have that. So the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. When you have practice, your top teams
have that ability to even more fine-tune. The cream rises to the top, and you're given that cream more time and more resources to rise even further. So that's where I feel that the not having it is benefit overall to the parity and competitive level that we're seeing right now. So I'm really not in favor of bringing it back, at least not on the scale that we used to see. You know, there's certain tracks. I know, I think actually Vegas did have a practice session in. I'm okay with that of 20 minutes of prior to qualifying, something to that effect, tie it in with qualifying. So I'm okay with that, but I don't want to see. And I enjoyed watching. I was one. If practice was on, I watched it. There's a lot of things you can learn during that as far as knowledge base, because they have more time to talk about different things. But I just don't see it as a great benefit to the overall product on the track. Because as I said, then you get the top teams that get, the more practice they get, the better they're going to get and pull away from the field again. And that's where fans were kind of disenchanted with the product. They felt like there were only four or five top teams that could win every week. You're not seeing that right now.
Yeah, I agree with what Tommy said, and I also agree to some extent with what Jay said. Practice, I know the drivers want to have some practice. Some of the drivers are saying they need to have that practice. And so I know NASCAR is talking about bringing practice back because that was part of their media rights agreement with Amazon, is that they would be covering the practice and the qualifying sessions. Is it going to be the way it used to be? Probably not. We're probably going to get a modified version of it. But like Tommy, I'm probably not going to watch it because to me, it's not that exciting to watch the cars do their practice session. The drivers feel like they need it, so okay. But I also hear what Jay is saying as well. And I can argue two sides of this one, but I think there's some truth to what Jay is saying, that we're enjoying the parity that we're seeing on the track right now, and we're getting some good racing. And is that going to kind of upset the balance, if you will, of the parity that we have by having that practice session for all the reasons that Jay brought up? So it's a tricky, you know, we say this all the time, be careful what you ask for because you just might get it. And it might not be as good as what we're getting right now. So are there some benefits to it? Absolutely there's benefits to it. But is it going to really upset the apple cart to the point that we're not getting the great racing that we're getting now? That's the big question. And Tom's going to tell the rest of that story. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. Mike, what are your thoughts?
There's two big arguments for practice. And just to get it out of the way, I'm extremely in favor of bringing back practice, especially for the lower series, the trucks and the Xfinity series. And there's really two big pieces here. First and foremost is checking mechanical issues, making sure your setup isn't out to lunch like the Legacy Motor Club Toyotas were in Atlanta 2 weeks ago when the 42 and the 43 about crashed on qualifying because they hadn't put that car on the racetrack up to that moment. And as soon as they get out there, they realize that the team missed something huge in the setup, and it basically ruined their qualifying effort, and that would have been found within 5 minutes of having a practice session out there. So finding mechanical issues like that, whether it be a setup issue, a parts, you know, a quality control on a part from the third-party manufacturer, for example, the steering racks at Bristol a couple years ago, all those things would have been found had we had a practice session, and it wouldn't have had the detrimental effect on the race that it ended up having. The other one is more for the lower-tier series. Shane Van Gisbergen this weekend, when he had his mechanical issues and he exited the Las Vegas race very early, he wasn't mad about not having an opportunity to win the race. He said, man, I really needed those laps. And that's the thing that we're really cheating some of these guys out of. We talked about bringing in a new manufacturer to NASCAR, whether it's Honda or anybody else. We're bringing in drivers like Shane Van Gisbergen, Brody Kostecki, and others who are, Bubba Pollard is another one, but we're trying to bring these people into NASCAR who have been successful in other series. And a huge barrier to entry is simply seat time. There's no opportunity to get seat time in any series in NASCAR, because not only do you not have practice on the weekends, NASCAR has very strict rules limiting the ability for teams to do any kind of testing. They can't rent a racetrack and go test a car there, for example, because NASCAR has put a moratorium on that because they don't want teams spending a whole bunch of money. And I totally understand their point behind that. But a lot of those rules were made before we had this big outreach and this influx of other teams, other manufacturers, other drivers who were trying to attract into the sport. So if nothing else, they need to make a carve out for guys like Shane Van Gisbergen, who has a lot of experience somewhere else, but not so much experience driving a NASCAR vehicle. Give them the opportunity to at least do a testing session or something where they can get seat time in the car and be able to showcase the skills and the talents that they clearly demonstrated that they have via their success in other disciplines. Allow them to have that opportunity to develop it so they can showcase that on the NASCAR stage as well. I think we as fans are losing out on seeing what Shane Van Gisbergen is capable of, simply because he's not getting the opportunity to get the seat time to showcase his abilities in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. I think that's really where we stand to gain the most there. So that's my take on practice. Do we need to go back to five sessions over a weekend and all that? Maybe not. Maybe that was a bit excessive. But I think we've gone too far in the other direction and gotten rid of a few too many laps on the track have gone away in the name of cost savings. And this is a lot like the non-competitive pit stops that they tried to do in the NASCAR Crashing Truck Series. For the past couple of years, it was the Truck Series was a standalone event where there wasn't a Cup Series race at the same track on the same weekend. They would have non-competitive pit stops. And the decision was made this year that they're going to do away with those non-competitive pit stops. Even though it was going to cost more money, the value added to the competition by having those real live pit stops was greater than the cost savings of going non-competitive. And I think that's where we're at with practice right now. Yes, more practice or more testing will cost more money. I think the gain that we get in terms of competitiveness, I think that will outweigh the monetary cost of putting cars on the racetrack more often. That's my take on it.
Okay, Tommy, your follow-up?
I don't really have much to add. I do think it would be beneficial, but I also don't really see NASCAR bringing it back. But I guess we'll see.
Jay?
No, there are some benefits that Mike hit on for sure. As you mentioned, the rookies or drivers coming from other series or brands of racing, that it would be a benefit to them. The mechanical issues, there are some to that I see. One of the things, though, like, for example, at Atlanta with Legacy, if the setup is bad, I don't know how much, though, even in if, say, we go with a 30-minute, and I'm just going to use that as an example, a 30-minute practice, they get out there, the car's that bad. If in 30 minutes before qualifying, they even have the capability now with these cars, because they're limited on what changes they can make, that they can even fix that. So there again, okay, you know it's bad, but if you don't have the capability to change an entire setup like they used to, I mean, when you had the Friday session and then a Saturday session for an hour or two, multiple 1 to 3 hours, depending, you could change the entire setup on a car, basically change out the car. You don't have that capability anymore with this next-gen car. So what's the point? Okay, you've discovered it's bad. You can't do anything about it now. I don't know that. Let me put it that way. I don't know if there is enough time and ability to make the changes to change the setup enough where it's no longer that ill. So I think, Sharon, you called it a modified. I know we've seen that in the past. Like I said, I believe it was 10 or 20 minutes for each group. Prior to qualifying, I think that's reasonable. You know, like you said, there are some little things. If it's something that is a mechanical issue and they can get changed and not have a crash, absolutely it's a good thing. Seat time for those rookies or those new to the stock cars, whatever, absolutely a good thing. I just, like I said, I don't want to see it where the true benefit is to those top teams that are already the top teams, stretching it out even further away from the field. Because right now we got great competitive racing 20 or 30 cars deep, all right, 25 maybe, at the cup level anyway.
Okay. Yeah, that's exactly where I was at, is a modified version of it. It's not going to be like we've seen it in the past if they do bring it back. And I do think that they've already kind of said that they are going to bring it back when they talked about the media rights program with Amazon. They're going to cover practice and qualifying. So I think there's going to be a modified version of it. It's not going to be a couple of days of practice. It's probably going to be one day of practice and a limited amount of time. So, but it'll be able to do the things that Mike talks about, maybe address some of those mechanical problems that are there. And Jay brings up a good point, too. Is there enough time to fix it? There's always a backup car available. For most teams, not every team brings a backup car, but they always bring extra parts, though, too, for parts that do fail during the race. So this just gives them a chance to catch those mechanical issues before they become problems on the track, not just for the person driving the car that has the mechanical issue, but let's say a part falls out and somebody else runs over it. That could be an issue for somebody else as well. But that could happen in practice as well as it could happen in race conditions. So, but they'll get it before the actual race conditions and be able to correct it is the point. So that's where I see it heading. We'll have to see what the rest of the story is once it all rolls out. Mike?
I really hope that when Amazon does their coverage, like you said, Sharon, they're going to be doing some manner of practice, or else they wouldn't have announced that Amazon's going to be covering it. We don't know what that's going to look like yet, but I'm hoping it looks like something in between where we're at right now versus where we were prior to COVID, where you guys, I don't know if I want to use the word excessive, but an argument could be made that there was excessive amount of practice going on. So somewhere in the middle is probably where we need to be. I think right now we have too few laps on the racetrack per weekend, especially for the lower tier series where you got the truck series and the ARCA Menard series. This weekend was good with the trucks, but it's been a mess the past few now, dating back to Phoenix and before that, it's been a real mess in the truck series. And I think some of that has to do with the lack of seat time and the lack of laps that a lot of these kids are having an opportunity to turn prior to the race. I think we could improve that at least somewhat by giving them a little bit more seat time prior to the race starting. Jay's right. For the Cup Series, practice is basically a tuning session because these guys are on top of their game. But when you're talking about the Truck Series, it is genuinely practice. These kids are out there practicing driving the truck and learning things like how to get on and off the pit road, how to drive around another truck that's on the racetrack without running into them, things like that. And taking that away from them, I think, is at an overall net negative on some of the racing that we've seen in the Craftsman Truck Series, not just this year, but last year as well. So hopefully we go back to at least some of it because I think we've taken too much away at this point.
All right. We've got a few minutes here. Tommy, do you have another hot topic you want to talk about?
I guess we could briefly talk about Logano's gloves being displayed.
Okay. Jay, they showed Logano's gloves and somebody's Stewart Haas Racing, was it Logano gloves, and what was the other thing?
The SHR and the 41?
Or the 10 and the 41?
The 10 and the 41 had some kind of roof rails or something.
Well, we've seen this in the past when they made the change of going back to the old school days, bring out the parts and whatever is been found to be illegal or wrong. To display it and show teams. There again, I know there's kind of a good and bad. You don't want to give anybody any ideas of, hey, what's being done in areas to possibly try, but also of understanding and seeing exactly what is wrong and why, with the transparency, not just to the teams, but also the fans and anybody that wants to understand. So I think it's a good thing. The glove thing of that, I know I heard a lot of the talk from different even team members from Penske, Team Penske, saying that they didn't even know that the 22 team Joe Logano had that and was using it, so it was not like it was a team decision. Obviously, I heard Roger Penske was not happy with it. He is one that upholds a very high standard when it comes to stuff like that. So I think the internal, I'd kind of like to hear the internal discussion there. I know I just heard the statement of embarrassment from Roger Penske. So he was obviously not happy with it. It's amazing to me, though, and I know we talked about it a little bit when we first even whether or not there would be a forthcoming penalty or why he got the drive-through penalty, of those thousands of seconds that these teams are trying to do. When you talk about just putting your hand up against the window net to block air, adding that webbing of how much, and I don't know if there's any statistics that would show how much less drag or whatever that creates that allows that car to go that millisecond faster, or, you know, what it creates. But they obviously, it was obviously intentional. I think the fine there, I don't know. I guess the penalty of doing the drive-through, start at the back and drive-through penalty was what they felt was good enough as far as that. And I was a little surprised, though, because, again, they're modifying a safety issue. They said whether or not then that webbing within it is flame retardant, and that's why what really got it was the SFI, which is the standard for safety if it met that. From that aspect, I thought maybe the fine might even be a little bit higher because I know that safety is a high concern. And when you start modifying things like that, you're degrading the ability to protect the driver and safety-wise. I thought it might be a little bit even higher fine. I don't know that necessarily points did need to be taken. And I understand the penalty they thought was going to be put them two laps down to start the Atlanta race the way the caution came out right away. He really didn't even get penalized because he was able to make it and not lose the lap. But that's, I mean, the way racing works. Sometimes when you pit, even with the right call to make a pit stop and a caution comes out, turns out to be bad. So I think overall the message was sent. Hopefully it sinks in. The message was sent. Now it's got to be received. I'll put it that way.
All right. Mike, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to say it so Tommy doesn't have to. I'll save him his breath. Cheaters! Cheaters! Dirty, rotten cheaters! Joey Logano should be banned for life. That probably about covers Tommy's take on it right there. But, yeah, this is an interesting one. There was a lot of kind of discussion about, well, this is one of those things the rule book doesn't specifically prohibit, but then NASCAR came around and said, look, the rule book says that all of your safety equipment needs to meet SFI spec. SFI does not certify any webbed gloves, whether it was this make and model or anything else. There's no such thing as an SFI certified webbed glove. So when you put webbing between the fingers of a glove, it is no longer considered SFI certified. Plain and simple, the penalty, my understanding is the penalty, the fine, was the same as if Logano had not been wearing a glove at all or been wearing, like, I don't know, like a mechanic glove or something like that. So it's kind of a gray area there. I don't know that they're going to rewrite the rule book to specifically talk about modifications to driver equipment now that Logano got caught buffoonering with that. I'm not sure. Jay kind of hit on it. There were two really separate penalties that Logano got hit with. The drop to the back and pass through was the competitive penalty to address the gains that he potentially got from having that glove. And then the monetary fine was the penalty for the non-approved, non-SFI equipment. That was the other side of that penalty. So two separate penalties there. But getting to see the glove, this wasn't even like a gray area. This was
This was full on. He had a swim fin on his hand. It was serious. And I'm with Jay. I can't help but think that it's got to be as much of a psychological thing as anything else, because it's got to, any advantage from putting your hand out the window, Webb's glove or not, has got to fall within the margin of error of, if I didn't put my hand out the window, but I was able to hold the line just a little bit better, I'd probably come out ahead on the deal. You know, that kind of lack of margin of error there. But these drivers convinced themselves putting the hand in the window is a way to gain speed on qualifying on these restrictor plate tracks. So far be it for me. I don't drive them, but far be it for me to say that that's not the way to do it. These guys have been not only convinced that it works, but convinced that it works so well that they would benefit by cheating about it. So here we are.
All right. Yeah, I'm glad to see the transparency from NASCAR. I think that NASCAR needed to have that transparency, and I'm enjoying seeing some of the things that they're catching and understanding how it impacts the racing. In this case, with the glove, it definitely impacted, because I guess with the webbing, it stops the air from coming into the cockpit, meaning that it gives it more downforce. So there was a benefit to having that glove. And even if it was a small benefit, it was a benefit for Joey Logano, and that's why he was doing it. So I think it's kind of surprising, though, that Roger Penske didn't even know that he was doing it and was a little bit embarrassed by it. I think that says a lot about the integrity there of that organization, and I like that. So I like the transparency, and I think NASCAR should keep doing it. Now, the roof rails, I don't know as much about that one. I was going to see if I could find more information about the roof rails. They've got pictures of it in here, but NASCAR wasn't happy with them, and that's a penalty too. As far as the severity of the penalty, it didn't seem like Joey Logano was really penalized that much for all the reasons that you guys brought up. And did they give them a penalty for those roof rails?
Oh, yeah, 35 points off the 10 and the 41.
Okay, so that tells me it was a little bit more serious, and NASCAR took it more seriously. So, yeah, they definitely gave them that penalty. So, but they're showing us exactly what they weren't happy with, and I like that kind of transparency. I applaud NASCAR for doing that. Tommy, what do you have to say?
I can't believe that they actually showed a picture of the gloves and displayed it like that. I mean, being a Patriots fan, you know, the Patriots got in trouble for the deflate gate and the spy gate. And I mean, I never got to see the deflate of footballs, at least I don't remember. And I don't recollect the NFL showing the Patriots footage that they videotaped during the spy gate. Maybe I'd have to dig a little deeper to find it, but like I said, I don't remember them showcasing it. So the fact that NASCAR was like, hey, here's Joey's glove, here's what's wrong with it, this is a no-go, I just can't believe it. Like you said, full transparency, it's kind of nice. And they did post the windshields too, how the holes are supposed to be flat and they were dented or something. So, I mean, kudos to NASCAR for doing that, because I can't think of a time where they showed something that was, hey, this is, you're cheating, you can't do this. I mean, I know like in baseball, that pine stuff that like the pitchers use, I think, to grip the balls better, I think they have shown that. But other than that, like, I just can't think of a time where they've shown what was wrong and what was being cheated. So kudos to NASCAR on that one. And, you know, like I said last week, you know, Joey got fined, I think, and I don't think there was any or I don't, was he fined? I can't remember, but I do know that he had to serve a pass-through penalty, and he was essentially two or three laps down to start the race at Atlanta. I'd like to stick with what I said last week. They should have let him kept his position starting second, but he should have started the race 10 laps down. So that way he never would have recovered from it, just let it stink.
Oh, okay. Jay, a follow-up?
I'll have to remember that of with the Jay Huseman Cup. We haven't talked about that in a while, but Tommy's not in charge of issuing penalties. He's a little harsh, and I think the opinions of drivers might vary when it comes to that. So I'll have to keep that in mind when I go to hire Tommy. But the only thing I wanted to add here, Mike talked about whether or not it helps of drivers putting the window up there, but once one sees one do it and they think it's an advantage or something that's working, everybody else is going to try it. Kevin Harvick addressed it. He said he was aware of it. He said his preference was to keep both hands on the steering wheel. That was his choice. But I also think back to a dirt track driver, Scott Blomquist, one of the top dirt track drivers in the country. He would do things like that that had absolutely no meaning, no special effects or anything, just because he knew people were watching him as one of the best and they would start doing it. It kind of just one of those that make him giggle of watch. I can get somebody to do this because they think that's what I'm doing and why I'm fast. So I'm going to do this, or whatever, and watch other people do it just because they think that's what's making them fast, you know. So it's a mental game as well when you see that of whether or not, like I said, of I'm sure there is some air effect, whether or not it's enough to get you. And we're talking thousands of a second, hundreds of a thousands of a seconds when it comes to qualifying. So, again, you're just looking for any little bit of edge. And if they feel that that was working, they said, okay, if that's working, how can we make it work even better? Add this webbing because that would block more. So if the hand there was working, theoretically the webbing did add to it. So, NASCAR has to step in from the two-to-two aspects because now you're getting an aero flow advantage that you shouldn't be, and you modified a part as far as the driver. Then, as Mike said, from the safety aspect, you got the monetary penalty for that. So I think they did a good job with it, whether or not points needed to be, being that, in this case, the penalty as it was of going a pass-through. But like I said, that's one of those. That's just the way it played out. I mean, anytime you get penalized, you have, I think it's three laps. When they black flag you or tell you to come in for a pass-through, you have three laps. You go to that third lap hoping the caution comes out because then you get to do it under caution. So, that's just the way it fell for him. He was able to do it. If the caution hadn't come out, he'd have been two laps down. It would have been a different story, but that's not of his doing, so.
Okay, Mike.
I'll keep it real quick because I know we're short on time, but I do want to point out, Jay, you say that Tommy's harsh. I'm the guy who said that Logano needed to be banned for life. So don't come at me and say that I'm not harsh here. I'll drop a hammer on a man. That's all I got to say there.
Unless it's Chase Elliott.
Let's replay the show from after Charlotte last year. I very, very vocally said that he needed to spend some time on the couch, and I was screaming right on that one. So don't say that I don't say that he needs to be penalized when it merits it.
All right. We'll go ahead and move on from there. I'm not going to say anything more because I don't have a whole lot to add here. So, Tommy, what are your final thoughts?
I don't have anything else to add either.
Okay. Let's go ahead and do our roundtable, and Jay, we'll start with you.
All right. You can follow me on Facebook, Michael Huseman, MoparMJ8 on Twitter and Instagram. Had a great weekend as we had our opening weekend at Jackson Motor Speedway, and it may lead to some things here at Fan for Racing. Sharon, I've already talked about it a little bit. I don't want to give anything more away yet. Her and I will have some discussions, but hopefully some good things coming.
Okay. Mike,
excuse me, Mike underscore Orzel on X, Mike underscore O on Reddit. And, well, that's about it. I guess I'll talk to you all on Thursday because I don't even have a plug for anything. So talk to you Thursday.
Okay, Tommy?
At Since 95 Fan on X. Thanks for having me again. I always enjoy being on.
Well, we enjoy having you as well, and thank you to the rest of the Fanfaration crew, Mike Orzel, Jay Huseman, and Sal Sagawa. You guys always do a great job, and I am Fanfaration Site on Twitter, and I am Fanfaration Blog and Radio everywhere else, including Facebook and our website, fanfaration.com. Definitely looking forward to the preview show that's coming up on Thursday. We'll be previewing the races out at Phoenix Raceway. Arca is going to be back, and so I'm looking forward to talking about a preview for that race that's coming up. The series that's not going to be racing is the truck series. They're taking a week off. It should be a good show. Brian's going to be co-hosting, and we'll have our Hot Topic sound off as we usually do at, 1 o'clock Eastern and 12 o'clock Central. So, and then as soon as we're done, I'll put out the podcast for everybody to hear it. So I don't have a whole lot to add here. It was good having Sal back on the show tonight. And he says he'll be back next week. I do have some ideas kind of rolling around in my head. I'm not ready to announce anything yet, but watch for that to be coming, along with what Jay's talking about. So I'll tell you more about that as I kind of firm up some plans here. So just be on the alert for when it comes. And we'll look forward to talking to everybody again on Thursday. So with that, let's call it a night, guys.
Good night, everybody.